Columbus.
Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
The Blue Jackets enjoying a day off on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Yeah, I'm rubbing it in. I'm absolutely positively rubbing it in. As a matter of fact, let me rub it in just a little bit more for you. For the first time, I'm doing this show outdoors because why not? Now, Jody Shelley isn't here to enjoy it tonight. He's in Philadelphia working for TNT. He'll be back here for the Blue Jackets and Florida Panthers tomorrow. But sitting in his place tonight and actually taking up just a portion of a big chair is the Jackets insider himself, Jeff Sobota. And Jeff, welcome to the first outdoor Inside Edge.
Could not have better scenery as a horn goes off.
The old boat horn right there on cue.
Yeah, that's a real scene setter, I think they call it in the business. Yeah, not only am I excited to do the Inside Edge, I'm excited to do the first outdoor version, whereas we're looking at a beautiful blue sky. Could not be better. So thank you for having me. Very excited. This set of circumstances has come together very well.
Yeah. Well, today is an off day for the players, somewhat for the coaches. Mike Havlin, Blue Jackets assistant coach, is going to come in and join me here in just a little bit. They had to have their meetings this morning, and those were good meetings, I'm sure, just the same way it's a good day for you and I, because the Blue Jackets last night went into Tampa, and I'm going to be honest with you, I was surprised at how they basically manhandled the Tampa Bay Lightning. Got behind 1-0. They were outplaying them in the first period, but fell behind, and then were just able to come back, and you build a 3-1 lead. It gets a 3-2. You make it 4-2. You add the empty netter, and so long. We'll see you later with a couple of points. Now, the unfortunate part is everybody else you needed to lose won. But if you don't win that game, Jeff, you're not keeping pace.
Yeah, it could have been a heck of a night for the Blue Jackets because there was a moment where it looked like they would be making up some pretty good ground in the standings. But you're right. You just got to keep getting wins. You can't really worry about what other teams are doing right now. You know, I know we asked Zach Werenski in the locker room post game, you know, did you already look at the scorers? And he said yes. There is some scoreboard watching that goes into it. But if the Blue Jackets just keep doing what they're doing, they have points in 18 of the last 20, 15 wins in the last 20. You just keep doing that, everything will take care of itself. And as you're right, that was maybe the best performance of the season for the Blue Jackets last night. The way that they went in there, and it felt like everything was stacked against them. They'd lost 9 straight in Tampa. They were coming off the back-to-back, you know, that flight from Columbus after playing the LA game on Monday, in a game where they really didn't play all that well. It was a tough ask, and the Blue Jackets just went out there, and I said, maybe played their game of the season. Pretty much controlled that game for at least 45 of the 60 minutes. Pretty even at the start, but as that game went on, the Blue Jackets were clearly the better team against one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. So that's a win you can build on. Makes today a lot nicer. We'd be enjoying the sun no matter what, but you know, when you get a big win like that, a team win where everyone does their part, and then you get to enjoy a day like this, it feels pretty good, doesn't it?
It does. You know, yesterday afternoon, I was listening, the Lightning has a lunchtime show, and I was listening to the show, and the way they were talking about the Blue Jackets, I was like, man, are we really that good? Is this team really that good? Like, they were talking about how dangerous the Blue Jackets are off the rush. The Blue Jackets had already beaten the Lightning 2 times this year. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, well, those things are true, but I don't remember facing Andre Vasilevsky in either of those games, which is a pretty big deal, right? You get them, I think they got them on a back-to-back once, and the other time they were on that ridiculous point streak that was just bound to have some kind of a setback at some point, right? So, you know, and credit to the Blue Jackets for getting the wins in both of those games. I'm not downplaying it, but it's funny. And I was thinking about this. When you're with a team and you're around a team every day, I think we get guilty of just seeing the warts sometimes. And we don't appreciate how much good is actually there, because you're always looking for the mistakes and you're analyzing the mistakes and you want the mistakes corrected. And they correct one, there's another one, and that's what you see, right? But it was funny to hear the other team's version of what the Columbus Blue Jackets are, and then watch the Blue Jackets go in and actually be that very version.
Yeah, and that is an excellent point as far as seeing the warts. I think that's something that happens. It's kind of I think about it in college football a lot too, like Ohio State. Ohio State fans have such a high standard for their team, and they go, this isn't good, this isn't good, this isn't good sometimes. It's like, well, first of all, you're 11-0, so like simmer down. But also, like, those other teams have those same things too. And so, yeah, we get guilty of that in the NHL. And the Blue Jackets had shown some warts in the previous games. They'd, you know, given up 5 goals in back-to-back games. The defensive structure had not been as good as it was going into the Olympic break. So, you know, you kind of were a bit maybe worried going into that Tampa game as far as, you know, especially on home ice with Vasilevsky in the net. When that team gets cranked up, you know, they can put 6 or 7 goals on anybody. So you knew the Blue Jackets were going to have to play a better game last night than they did in the previous couple games. And they sure as heck did. But that is an interesting point, hearing the outside perspective, because you think about maybe what the Blue Jackets did at the trade deadline, adding Connor Garland. They had added Mason Marchment earlier in the season. You look at this lineup now, and it's the depth to it is really impressive. You've got, you know, they switched up the lines a little bit last night, but that top line, I mean, think about what they did to tie that game against Utah the other night in a huge situation, a situation where you need points. You're down 4-2 with 7 minutes left. They come through and do what a top line has to do and score some goals. Now we see maybe that Monahan, Johnson, Garland line starting to click. That third line has been good all year, not just limiting the opposing top lines, but scoring some goals as well. And then you've got Boone Jenner, Miles Wood, Isaac Lundestrom, Denton Heinen, whoever's in there on a fourth line. All those guys have played at least 500 NHL games. So you just looking at the forwards, this is a deep, good team. You know, the young talent, Adam Fantilli, Kent Johnson now starting to produce. You look up and down the lineup, and this feels like a team. And you look at the record, and you said 15 wins in the last 20, that this is a legit team that has a chance here, I think.
But right now, when you look at the standings, it looks like it could take 100 points to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Now, I talked with Jean-Luc Grandpierre on the bus last night. We had about 4 hours on the plane and the bus coming over here to talk about these things. I said to Jean-Luc, you really think that's going to happen? He said, I think that once the teams start playing each other a little bit here in these last couple of weeks, that number will come down. But, you know, facts are facts, too. You're going to have 2 against the Bruins. You've got 1 more against the Islanders. You've got 2 against Montreal. You've got 2 against Philly, which you hope are like, let's go get those points. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some interesting games in there. But, I mean, do you think it's going to take 98 or 100 to get in?
That is a great question, because it just doesn't feel like anybody's losing, and you will have these.
God, I wish we were in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, well, we'd have more days like this too. But you're totally right about that. The way the standings have just been so weird. What the Blue Jackets are 12th in the league, I think, in points percentage,
mm-hmm.
Which would put you in first place in the Pacific Division. Instead, they're battling for their playoff lives, because you've got the Central, which has 3 elite teams. You got the Pacific, which is kind of struggling. And then you've got the East, where there's just so many teams in it. And we've seen some demarcation come here. We've seen, I think, Florida, Toronto, you know, it's over for those teams.
Washington Philly, is,
yeah.
Washington's pretending they are there, but I'm not sure they're still there.
Yeah. They kind of sold at the deadline with the trades of Carlson and Dowd. I'm trying to think of who else is in that mix. Yeah. Philly might be kind of bowing out here. So you've kind of.
Philly should have been bowed out to me in December.
Yes.
You know, I'll give them credit for the points that they picked up and what they were able to do, but I just never thought that they were that strong anyway. Ottawa's the only other one that's kind of in the mix.
And, yeah.
And I'm not sure how in the mix they are. Points wise, yes, they're there, but I mean, they get Canadian press, so they're always going to be in the mix until they're not, right? But yeah, I mean, you take the 8 that are in, and you look at the Blue Jackets and the Senators. To me, there's your demarcation line, right? I think you've got 10 teams battling for 8 spots.
It definitely feels that way right now. And so you think, okay, you're right, or Jean-Luc is right. When these teams play each other, maybe you get some separation, or some of those games where, you know, the one team wins, one team loses, you get 0 points for somebody. But we sure thought that the other night when Boston and Pittsburgh were playing, I think Sunday, and then it's a 3-1 game in the third period, and then suddenly it's an overtime.
I knew exactly where that was going. I knew exactly where that was going.
Yeah. So maybe you get these 3-point games down the stretch, and everybody is just getting back up toward that 100-point line. So yeah, it is kind of crazy. Even last night, you're sitting there and Pittsburgh's losing by two late. Some of the other results looked like they might go the Blue Jackets' way. The Islanders were down 3-0, yeah. And then suddenly all those teams at least get points. And
suddenly St. Louis became St. Louis.
Yeah. Maybe we should have saw that coming as well. Yeah. It's a dogfight. And, you know, I said earlier, if the Blue Jackets take care of business and keep winning games, they'll be fine. But man, you say they've won 15 to 20 and they're still chasing it. So, if you do win every game, you're going to be fine. But that's hard to do. I wouldn't expect the Blue Jackets to go on an 18 game winning streak to end the season.
That's great analysis, by the way.
Yeah. But if you do your part at the end of the day, you should be fine. But it has become just kind of an insane battle here. And you look at these teams and I think about it, there's strengths and weaknesses with everybody. The Blue Jackets have a lot of things going for them, but defensively, you know, they've struggled a little bit here recently. There's the flaws we see sometimes with this team. Detroit has such great top level things, but I don't think their depth is all that great.
Pittsburgh, they're also without Dylan Larkin now.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's been banged up and somehow still winning, but you know, we've played four games against them.
I don't get that team.
Yeah.
Without Crosby and Malkin, like I really scratch my head. I didn't think they were going to be what they are, but the way they're playing right now, be able to come back against Carolina last night and tie the game and get the point, and like they feel they have something special there, and maybe they do. I'll tell you what would be really special to me, Jeff, is if at the end, like right down maybe last day, very end, if it wound up that they did not have enough points to get into the playoffs and the Blue Jackets do, that would be...
Yes.
That would be a fantastic season, one for the record books, regardless of how many points you had or where you go in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Blue Jackets fan base would agree with you on that one. Wouldn't that be nice? But all these teams are kind of similar. We've played Detroit. We've played Pittsburgh. I think we've only got one against Montreal. But these Boston, these teams that the Jackets are in the mix with, you know, say they've got some strengths. They've got some high end players. They've got some things they do really well. Some of them, the Islanders and Pittsburgh, seemingly are just lucky on a nightly basis where they have these comebacks and get points that out of nowhere. But do you look at any of those teams and say they're better than the Blue Jackets?
No.
I feel the same way. And that also makes it, if you make it into the playoffs, you feel like you can at least win a series. Maybe two, because of the fact that I think the Blue Jackets are right in there with all these squads. There's other than maybe Tampa, who the Jackets have swept, and Carolina, who the Jackets always seemingly have trouble with. Those are the top two teams in the East. Everybody else owned Buffalo. I hate to discount Buffalo, but you forget Buffalo now is
for a decade and a half. They've been nothing. So yeah, it's not your fault.
They're playing as well as anybody in the NHL right now. But I think you look around this landscape and it's going to be a dogfight to get in, but so many of these teams are on similar wavelengths and talent levels that you feel like you match up well against those teams. Maybe you get into the playoffs and face off against them.
I wouldn't be afraid to see them play Carolina in the playoffs because that's where they become human.
Yeah.
Regular season is a foregone conclusion for that team. The playoffs, they still haven't figured out. They still don't have the goaltending for it, I don't think, unless this Bussy kid can all of a sudden be the answer to their goaltending woes in the postseason. I don't know. But, it's a good point you make. I just get in. I think the East, as you said, the way it is, there's all these points and these teams are all playing great. But when you get into the playoffs, I think the door is wide open. As great as Buffalo is, now you're going to go to the playoffs and you're going to have guys that haven't played Stanley Cup playoff hockey. Tage Thompson won a gold medal. Yeah, that's great. Big stage. I get it. But Stanley Cup playoffs, we're talking about winning four games to advance, not one game to get the prize. It'll be interesting. And it's fun. It's just fun to be in the mix right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've seen some years where this point in the year, we wouldn't be having these conversations. So
having this conversation.
So true. But, you know, last year they get a taste of it. And how much will that help down the stretch here as well? That 6-game winning streak at the end of last year, being in big games, young players, you know, learning what it's like to prepare and have to play in these tight games that come down the stretch. It was fun last year, didn't quite make it. It's been fun the last 20 games, and hope we keep having some fun down the stretch here.
Well, this has been fun. Jeff, thanks for stopping by and pinch hitting for Jody Shelley. Not anybody can do it, so you've done it very well. Go enjoy the rest of the outdoors for the time you have off?
Yes, I will have to put on some sunscreen. We're from Ohio. We're not used to this. Going to have to prepare accordingly for the rest of the day here in Fort Lauderdale.
As Kirill Marchenko told me a couple of weeks ago when we were walking out of the building, he said, when the sun comes out in Columbus, I have to say to my wife, what is that? So we all understand. If you're in Central Ohio, you completely get it. That is Jeff Sabota. He is the Jackets insider. Coming up next, Blue Jackets assistant coach Mike Havlin joins me here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's 2020. Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Get eagle.
Can't get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Well, this whole storm system comes to an end tonight. The rain will end. We'll turn drier into Thursday morning across central Ohio, but it's going to be much colder tonight. Lows at about 32 degrees. On Thursday, middle 40s, partly sunny skies. On Friday, gusty winds, especially early in the day with a rain or snow shower and highs in the middle 50s. On Saturday, some sunshine and highs at about 50. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan, and I'm joined right now by Blue Jackets assistant coach Mike Havlin. And Mike, how are you enjoying your day off here in sunny South Florida?
Well, so far so good. You know, we had a little bit of a staff meeting this morning, so going to get out here and enjoy it a little bit this afternoon. Beautiful weather, so don't get much of this, you know, just have to enjoy it.
See, that coaches don't get a day off, do they? You've just proven it. You still had to have meetings today. Players can do whatever they want. They can go to the beach. You got to do work.
Well, I mean, yeah, we still have to prepare, you know, and but they certainly executed. And but I think the coach's life, you know, just it's a 7-day, you know, 24 hours. Your mind's always going and you're thinking about things, and you have to prepare. And hopefully, you know, when you prepare, you're doing everything the right way for the guys and to make it easy out there. So there's no excuses for them.
Well, you're a guy that has done this for a long time, and I know you still work a lot, but I'm sure that the work is different than it was when you first started when you first started in this coaching venture a long time ago. First of all, tell me a little bit about how it got started for you, and you know, in playing hockey and becoming the guy that loves the game that you are.
Well, I mean, I'm not from a real traditional hockey, you know, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Michigan type of state. You know, I was born in Manhattan, and, you know, we moved to Jersey when I was a kid, and, but my folks just loved hockey, and, I actually started in roller hockey and then went into ice hockey, and, you know, and, things just kind of took off as a player. And I left home at 15, went to Toronto, and was fortunate enough to play juniors there for 4 years, and then, you know, played college hockey and drafted in the NHL, and just my career was cut really short early on in the American League, and couldn't play again. And, you know, I just loved the game so much that I got into coaching and coached college hockey right away. And then I decided maybe I should get a regular job. The money wasn't great. And I went and had a regular job, Bobby. And you know, after 2 years of doing that and being away from the game, I just missed it so much. And got back in, started coaching at the youth level, went into the East Coast League, and just worked my way up from there, and was very fortunate enough to win some championships in the coast and to get out of there, and you know, had some great years there, and then ended up going to the American League and got a chance to get to the NHL and then back to the American League. So and now back to the NHL. So it's been a journey, but it's been a wonderful, amazing journey.
You talked about once you turned pro, going into the ECHL at the time and what I think was a great time because it was the same kind of era where I was in that league. I look back on that now and it was so formative for me as a, not just a broadcaster, but just as a pro in the way of how to handle yourself in this business. What did you find out about the game from once upon a time being a player to now being a coach and how it was different in making those transitions? Cause you started as an assistant, right?
Yeah.
Before you became a head coach. So, was that an easy transition for you?
It was. I mean, I was, again, you know, on some of the teams I played juniors in college, you know, was a captain, always was a student of the game. I always, you know, thought it was, you know, it's so important to talk to guys on the team and understand where, you know, maybe, you know, when I first started playing juniors, I was in the fourth line and, you know, understood you had to, you know, pay your dues and work your way into that lineup. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2-3 years in, you know, you're on the first line, you know, and I always felt like, you know, we always needed everybody somewhere along the line to win championships. And I kind of took that mentality through college as a player. And then when I got into coaching, I thought it was really important to make sure you talk to your guys and understood your guys and just don't concentrate on your top end guys. Always talk to, you know, the 13th forward and the seventh defenseman because there were going to be injuries. There were going to be call ups in the East Coast in the American League and you are going to need those guys somewhere along the line. And back then I to this day, I still believe it's all about the team and a family. You hear a lot of coaches talk like that, right? But if you're asking a guy to go to war, to battle for the team, you better make sure they respect and they feel comfortable with you as a coach and they want to do that for you and for the team. So I think that was the mentality I always had as a player and as a coach, no matter what situation I was in. So, you know, and it always worked out for me that way.
One thing that I don't know how many people realize is, and I don't know if it's the same today because it seems like every professional team at every level has a bigger staff. But when you became a head coach in the East Coast Hockey League, how many jobs did you have and how many people worked with you?
Well, you know, like you and I know, Bob, because we've talked about this. You know, I actually got a budget of $100,000. I'll never forget my first head job. It was $100,000 budget and I had to get an assistant coach, myself, a trainer and a medical and equipment guy. So, I jumped at the chance to do it, you know, and, you know, everybody had responsibilities, whether that was, you know, and you wore all these different hats. And I think that the East Coast Hockey League prepared you as you moved up in your career. It was a lot of time management. I did immigration. I did contracts. I did housing. I did, you know, on top of the video with the VHS back then, yeah. You know, not to date myself, but there was no, the computers were just not existing back then. So, you know, you did what you needed to do, but you learned how to manage your time and to make sure that, you know, every detail mattered. And I think, you know, your guys, you know, when you were detailed and organized and prepared, I think your teams were prepared. And I think it really helped me as I went along in my career.
I remember the days when I was in Johnstown and I would go down to the coach's office and Scott Allen was the head coach at the time. He's an assistant with the Capitals now. And he would be in that tiny little office. And as you said, he would have the VHS tape would be in the VCR and the TV was up in the corner and he was just sitting at his desk with the remote and taking notes. Didn't really have time for me to interrupt him. He's trying to get through the last game and stuff, but that was every day.
That was every day. And I remember I was in Trenton and Bruce Cassidy, who's the head coach in Vegas now. I was his assistant and Butch, I had a whole wall behind me, of a wood cabinet of VHS tapes and they were all labeled, you know, how you put the label on them. And you know, they were, you know, whether it was the D and the offensive guys, but like, you know, I had gotten to the point where the two remotes, because you had to go from one VHS to the other one to tape and cut. I thought it was better to just push fingers at the same time. So, you know, the same concepts, just obviously a different era, and you did what you needed to do. And, you know, I think you learn along the way from each coach that I had been an assistant, and then, you know, to become a head guy, you take little things from everybody. And, I was fortunate enough to work under some really good guys and, early on in my career to understand, what details meant and how to present that to your team.
Back at that time in the ECHL, to me, it was the last slapshot era. Like, the fighting is so much gone from the game, but back at that time, there was a lot of fighting and there was probably a lot of things that happened that people wouldn't believe to this day. How many of the off ice things, and I don't know if there's any you could talk about, but that was really the story. It was the stuff that was going on outside the game.
Right. Oh, well, it was. And, you know, you're right. The games were 3-4 hour long, it just, like, you know, you'd have a bench clearing brawl, you would have a 5-on-5 in warmups, and nobody would get thrown out of a game. And then, like, you know, now it would be guys would be suspended 4 or 5 games.
Olivier goes in and he's gone for, right?
The exactly. Second guy in. I've seen guys come out of the penalty box, you know, after being put in there and, like, climb over the penalty box. You know, I played in a game in my first or second American Hockey League game when I was a player. And, you know, there was a 5-on-5 fight. We played Sherbrooke. I was in Binghamton at the time and guys got put in the penalty box. And next thing you know, the guy on our team climbed out of the penalty box over the score table, stepping in with a skate to fight the other guy in the penalty box. So people, you just don't see that anymore. Right. But, you know, that's just the way it was. And there was no room to hide back then, and it was different. You know, you talk about Jody Shelley and stuff. I remember Jody when he was in Johnstown with Scott Allen, and I'm sure you were there at the time.
I was
coaching against him, and you know, there was a lot more guys that were, you know, I look back on that now. There was everybody had tough guys, but tough guys that could play and make it. Like, you know, it was funny last night. I ran into Pat Maroon and Patty was my captain in the American League and Olivier came over to see the respect and the work that those guys put in, and, you know, fighting every night is a tough thing to do anyway, any level. Yeah. And I certainly didn't do it, so I can't really talk about that, but to see it and have that on your team, the respect level last night that I saw that I have seen over the years for those guys have for each other is outstanding.
I'm with Blue Jackets assistant coach Mike Havlin tonight here on the Inside Edge. More with him in just a minute, but I want to remind you, the best seats, the biggest games, it's all yours with the 2026-27 Blue Jackets ticket plan. You can choose the matchups that you want to see. You can have a plan that starts at just 11 games and saves you up to 40% and receive guaranteed access to 2026 playoff tickets and flexible payment options. Learn more by going to bluejackets.com/ticket plans. The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, continues after this on 97.1 The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Remember the old days when football used to have an off-season?
Well,
we at The Fan think that really sucked.
That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated.
Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments,
as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays.
And they come right to your house and massage your tender areas.
Ooh, they'll do it all.
Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV+.
And T-Bone.
And Timmy.
And Tyvus. Pizza Madness is here.
Oh, Pizza Madness, baby.
Pizzamadness.pizza on the interwebs. Vote now. It's brought to you by Billiards Plus.
Go vote, you stupid idiots.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation?
Good news.
It's Hockey O'Clock.
It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I'm with Mike Havlin, Blue Jackets assistant coach. When you got to the American Hockey League, first of all, it's a step up for you, but maybe one of the best things that ever happened to you, because you got into the Chicago Blackhawks organization. And after a couple of years of being the head coach of the AHL team, it finally paid off in a promotion to the National Hockey League. as you were going through that process, when did you get the feeling that, hey, I might get a chance here? I might be able to live my dream and make it to the top here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, I didn't play in the NHL, so it's hard. This is a tough, small business that we're in. And, I think I had to have good teams, had to have success, and we have a lot of success in the American League as well. And I was fortunate enough, like I came in, got that job, probably at the right time, like for myself, obviously, and for the Chicago Blackhawks. We I go back and I look at some of those teams I had, the Dustin Bufflins and the, Troy Bauer, Nicholas Jalmerson, Corey Crawford, Christopher Stieg. 10 of us were on that team, 10 players and myself that ended up eventually going up, but they all started with me. So that was, they were like, in the American Hockey League, you're on the bus and you're that family and you they're young men and they're trying to get there. But for myself, it was a very hard thing, Bobby. I had some success in the coast, and won 2 championships and then go to the American League and kind of the coach of the year. It was coach of the year in the American League. And then, you start interviewing for head jobs and, I kind of was really liked where I was at and my career was moving. And Chicago, called in the summer and said, hey, we'd like to bring you up and kind of give you some experience in the NHL. And it was a very hard decision for me. And, because I felt like I didn't know if I wanted to go back to being an assistant, but then the decision really came down to I needed some NHL experience, get behind the NHL bench, be around guys making millions of dollars and see if it was different and how different it was. And it's worked out pretty well. I mean, but it was a very hard decision after being 7, 8, 9 years as a head guy and things seemed to be going the right way. And, I went back to being a head guy after that as well. But, I think after this year two in the American League, I think things really started. It was like, oh my God, this may happen. I may get a chance in the National Hockey League.
You downplayed the success a little bit in Chicago. It was very successful in Chicago.
Yeah, it was. They built, we built from within. They made obviously some good trades. They got some, Chicago had some lean years there and, they picked some pretty good players early in their first rounders and, got some good draft choices, but I think when you built, that was the cap right after the cap hit, right? In 2005, I took over in the American League and, Chicago did some great things. And, you look at I look at Buff and Brower, they were 7th rounders. To hit those guys and, they traded for Christopher Stieg and Bolin was a 3rd rounder. Jalmerson was a 3rd or 4th, and so to see those guys developing and I had Burrish and Fraser who played different roles, right? So there was that group went on to win multiple cups, and then you add DeCane and Taves and all those guys into it, DeSharps and Hoses, right? It was a fun time to be around those guys. They were young. They were so connected as a team and they didn't realize how good they really were. I mean, I talk to them now as men and they have their own kids and it's funny to hear them say guys will say to me like, yeah, we just knew we were going to win. I was like, well, I wish we did, we would go in as coaches, even in Chicago going, we're going into, wherever Detroit tonight and they just, hearing them talk 20 years later it's pretty funny. They were like, we knew we were winning happy. And I was kind of like, oh, okay. Well, that would have been nice if we knew that. But
to go from not playing in the NHL to being part of a Stanley Cup, I mean, for a guy like you, that had to be a dream come true.
Yeah, I think it's everybody that's involved, right? Like that's the ultimate goal, right? To win the Stanley Cup, you dream about it, whether you're playing pond hockey or street hockey, it doesn't matter. You think about it and, that to actually come true was so, and people are right. It was so surreal. It was, you think about all the time and everything that the people that helped you along the way, the, you know, missing everything of your kids and, you know, Christmases and holidays, not being around for family. And, you know, that moment when you, when it happens, it's something special. And it's just, you know, you get reminded now, like every once in a while, like, from a family member or somebody, a close friend will say, you know, your name's on the cup for 66 years. And I'm like, well, it's going to outlive me. So, but it's something that, you know, as anybody in hockey, I think we all dream about it. And, you know, now you have one, you always want to chase that second one. But, I'll tell you a quick funny story, Bobby. We were in Philly and, cause we won in 10 there. And I remember the game was like 3-2. And I was running the D at the time I remember looking up in game six at the clock and it was like 7 minutes left. And from 7 minutes to like 3 minutes, it felt like an eternity. And as a coach, you don't like to look up, but I kept looking up and I was like, it's not going anywhere. Like they have more time and they have more time and Philly eventually scores late. You know, and then we had to go to overtime to win, but you're kind of like, you know, I hardly ever look at the clock because you're so focused. But I was like, oh my God, it was just going to happen. And then all of a sudden it wasn't going to, we had to go to overtime again. And eventually it worked out.
Well, now you feel my pain. I have to look solely at the clock. It's in my line of sight, for crying out loud. Yeah. And you know, that's a horrible feeling, right? Like, yeah. I'm glad you feel that way because there are times like, look, last night in Tampa, they get the second power play and they're moving it around and I'm going, is it taking 2 seconds for every second to come off that clock?
But you're right. I mean, that game, you know, we had all the momentum, right? Yeah. And then it's, you know, power play and certainly special. They have a special group, right? And they've been together for years now and they zip it around and that momentum could have went back the other way. Yeah. And you know, as well as I do, when that happens, you know, you lose games. You can lose games or you're chasing it. Or that game could have been 3-3 going into the third. And now you the momentum's for them. And you know, so the PK did a great job last night and we got the saves we needed. So, you know, but certainly, you know, the one thing I've learned as a coach, you know, you never look up. Even you look at all like even the movies now and you're like, you know, like the miracle comes out and they say the same thing. They're like, oh my God, all the players say when they were up on the Russians, oh my God, there's 10 minutes. That's a lot of time. Yeah. Right. And it is in a game when it doesn't matter what level you're at.
Blue Jackets assistant coach Mike Haviland is with me. I'll wrap up with him in just a moment, but I want to remind you the boys are back home on Tuesday, March 17th, when they take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Blue Jackets hockey on St. Patrick's Day. What could be better than that? Get your tickets at bluejackets.com. You're listening to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Veterans and...
Catch all the buzzer beaters, upsets, bracket busters, and more at the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. It's the greatest month of the year.
Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott with Blue Jackets assistant coach Mike Haviland. Mike, before we wrap it up, you've talked about players that aren't necessarily star players, but they are still impact players. And I would say Connor Garland is quickly becoming that for you, right? You get him in a trade last week. All of a sudden, he has 4 goals in 3 games, and that makes an impact.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bobby. It's those guys. Like I go back to Colin Frazier. You know, he played fourth line in Chicago, ended up going to the Kings and winning a cup there. He's won 3 cups, you know, and
you it's know, not an accident for those guys,
it's
right?
It's not. It's not because they're unbelievable on faceoffs. They're unbelievable on the PK. They block shots. They would fight for the team, right? So you get those guys and then you have to always surround them with the skill, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think when you could have those guys, what happens is then it opens up more ice for the skill guys. There's going to be situations, you know, a huge face off and, You know, and, you know, you look at Charlie Coyle. He's one of those guys. He gives you Swiss Army knife. He gives you everything. He can still make plays. They all can. Like Colin Frazier, I go back to him because he won a Memorial Cup. He won a World Juniors. He won 3 Stanley Cups and he was a fourth line guy. And, you know, you look at, you know, and, but this is a guy that put up 80, 90 points in juniors, 70 points in the American League, but he only had, you know, maybe 25, 30 in the NHL, maybe a year, but he was everything when we needed things to get done. He was a guy that got them done quietly. And, you know, I guarantee you the Andrew Ladds of the world and you talk to guys that win that they'll say. And Garland is a guy that I absolutely love. I think it was a huge pickup, a great pickup by the organization. And, you know, I think he's a guy that's probably had to prove himself his whole life, yeah. Bobby, right? And, you know, he's going after Hedman last night. Like he can score, he can play, you know, but his effort and he goes to the net. Like those are the guys you win with.
And not just his play, but when I'm watching Kent Johnson, like, first of all, I think Kent Johnson finally has somebody he can play with on that line, which is helping him look like he did last year. But additionally, if he's just watching Connor Garland and the way he's playing, the way he's going after Victor Hedman, and just that intensity, you would think that that would almost have to bleed into you, especially as a line mate. Watching the way that guy's playing, like, there's more of that in Kent Johnson, I think, maybe than he gives himself credit for. And I'm watching this, and I said, man, I hope he finds it just by the example that's out there at the same time.
I agree. I think KJ's played his best hockey here of late, and that line is going. I think you got a healthy Monty right now, but I think he looks at Garl and I agree with you, and he's like, wow, look at him go to the net, look at him get around it. Like
I can do it too.
And yeah. Not that he hasn't. It's, you know, and KJ's got unbelievable skill level, right? And he's made some unbelievable plays with Garls, and we love that line right now, and it's great. And it's even Bobby, like last night, you see guys like that, like the whole bench was up when he was going after head, and like everybody, that's what I mean. If those guys are like the glue, they start to bring the guys together. Not that this team has been close for the year and a half, 2 years I've been here. But like, I think when you add a guy that plays bigger than what he is, right? And, you know, now he's dragging everybody else into the fight. And that's what we have. And it was unbelievable even that to see on the bench last night. Everybody was up and, you know, Silly goes out and has a, you know, he gets hit. He goes and, you know, takes care of his own business, right? And that's how you win hockey games. Everybody's got to buy in, and certainly that's, I keep seeing it more and more as we go along here.
Well, Sillinger had to take care of himself because he got taken off Olivier's line.
Yeah.
He didn't have his guy there.
I think so. They get, you know, that's the other thing. Guys, you know, like you got Marchman, you got Silly, you got, you know, Sivo, like the other night. I mean, it's good to see, like, that's, when guys are playing for the team first and buying in and playing and care, you know, good things happen for teams.
I want you to know that you are my first guest on my first outdoor show, by the way. And I kind of feel like I'm going back to my baseball days and doing a spring training show. I get to do this outside today. And so I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day off, your partial day off anyway, to sit with me, Mike. It's great to talk to you, hear your story, and look forward to seeing what you guys can do over the next couple of weeks here.
Well, thanks, Bobby. I really appreciate it. And nice to be outside for a little bit here.
Yeah, with the sun. Yeah. What is that thing? Yeah, that's the sun. That is Mike Havlin, Blue Jackets assistant coach, who has taken on bigger responsibilities since the change in head coach. Mike now running the defense for the Blue Jackets, and he has got that unit on the blue line playing some very good hockey right now. And it's a group that has to continue to play well. They are going to be tested night in and night out, and they're going to be tested again tomorrow, because tomorrow night the Blue Jackets continue their road trip. They have to take on the Florida Panthers, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, although it looks as though the Panthers are going to miss the playoffs this season. Doesn't matter. They're going to play hard at home. They just did it last night against the Detroit Red Wings. They're not going to roll over. They're not going to go away. The Blue Jackets have to be ready to play their game. The Blue Jackets just beat the Panthers last week at Nationwide Arena. The last time the Blue Jackets were here, earlier in the season, they lost a game in overtime, 7-6. So that was one they didn't play well defensively. They need to play defensively tomorrow like they played last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tomorrow night's game will face off at 7 o'clock. I will have pregame coverage coming your way starting at 6:30 right here on The Fan. I want to thank Mike Havlin for joining me on tonight's show. Also, thanks to the Jackets insider, Jeff Sobota, for being with me. But most of all, I want to thank you for being there. This has been The Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
2 years ago, for the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to VetTix.org and FirstTix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Looking to sell.
Hey there, Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
I lost count of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus. Ugh.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.